ballpark, and when we get there, our first stop will be the restroom.
Long before Fenway Park was a cathedral to baseball, before it was the kind of place where 30 people gathered just to take a tour on a weekday morning, it was simply the new home for a still relatively new American League baseball team.
The team's owners at the time, the Taylor family, who also owned the Globe, coincidentally, they had decided to build a ballpark in the Fens.
Dan Ray is a special assistant to the Red Sox president, and he served as the team's unofficial archivist and historian.
They looked at it as this sort of up-and-coming area, which would suitably fit an up-and-coming team like the Red Sox.
All they needed was an up-and-coming young player. They found him in George Herman Ruth, a 19-year-old from Baltimore who'd yet to step foot on a major league field.
His parents had dropped him off at St. Mary's Industrial School for Boys in Baltimore when he was about 7 years old, and he virtually was an orphan. He grew up in this orphanage.
That's Lee Montville, author of The Big Bam, The Life and Times of Babe Ruth.
Why did his father and mother bring him to the orphanage? You know, there's a fog that kind of resides over all those years in Baltimore. It's very mysterious, the 19 years before he came to Boston.
What we do know is that at the orphanage, he found baseball, playing some 200 games a year there. At 18, he was signed, sight unseen, by the minor league Baltimore Orioles, mainly on his reputation as a pitcher. By all accounts, Ruth was already larger than life.
He just came straight from the orphanage right into the fast lane. He had an aura about him. He'd been a big-time guy in the orphanage, and he just thought he'd be a big-time guy wherever he went.
Midway through his first season, with attendance flagging and the bills piling up, the Orioles sold Ruth off, along with two other players, to the Boston Red Sox. On July 10, 1914, Ruth hopped an overnight train, arriving at Back Bay Station the next morning.
It was the greatest day a person could have, better than Ferris Bueller ever considered. You know, he went for breakfast and he met a 16-year-old girl, so the story goes, named Helen Whitford, and they got chatting and one thing led to another, and she eventually wound up as his wife.
From there, it was over to the Red Sox offices on Devonshire Street, where Ruth signed his first major league contract, which carried with it a significant raise.
And they told him, you're going to pitch today. And they took him to Fenway, and they gave him his uniform, and the game started at 3 o'clock.
Ruth and the Sox earned a 4-3 win over the Cleveland Naps. But the roster was crowded with veteran players, and the brash rookie rubbed some of them the wrong way. He was sent down to the minors and played most of the season in Providence. The next year, says the Red Sox Dan Ray, Ruth hit his stride, both on the field and off.
He's just a perfect fit for this exuberant, boisterous Boston crowd. You know, the Royal Rooters, who had their heyday in the 19-teens, they were a boisterous bunch, and he was sort of a perfect superstar for that group.
In five seasons with the Red Sox, the Babe would win three World Series and begin the transition from the game's most dominant pitcher to its most dominant slugger.
His name has been synonymous with the curse and the lack of championships for 86 years, but in truth, you know, he was a guy who brought championships here early on in our existence.
And while Ruth was a great player here, even a star, it was 200 miles to the south, in blue pinstripes, where he would become a living legend.
He was the first true superstar, I believe. He's just an iconic American picture, isn't he? New York was the perfect place for him.
Still, it's likely that George Herman Ruth never had a day quite like July 11th, 1914, when he first set foot in a major league ballpark, one of the last still standing where the great Bambino played. From the Curiosity Desk, I'm Edgar B. Herwick III, WGBH, Boston's local NPR.
I can't go on forever. Somebody's got to take my shoes and take my place. But you can bet your sweet life that I won't play until I drop, but I'll play until I damn near drop. Thank you.